Hello, welcome to the Power Hour, mate. I'm your host, Jimmy Ryu. It's my co-host, Danny Ryu. How we doing, mate?
We were sitting here and we were talking about Roman history. I assume because
that's Gorka.
Everyone with an accent like this, all they ever want to do is tell you about Julius Caesar, and this is why it was so important that Julius Caesar cross the Palindromus.
Is that Jiminy Glick?
It's Jiminy Glick doing a horrible English accent.
Bring back Jiminy Glick. That's what this show is about. Dan, we're not going to talk about either of these things. Title of the show, Game of Thrones, Endgame.
Well,
we're going to get the numbers.
See none of them, but I'm more than happy to talk about Game of Thrones because I did see I watched the ending of it because everyone was talking about how silly it was. Mm. And I was like, well, I got to see
it. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was watching it at a bar, and, like, everyone cheered.
Okay, could they see it, or were they plagued by this shit's too dark?
You could kind of see it. See it enough.
What did you think when Jon Snow just yelled at a dragon for no reason?
So many times in that show, Jon Snow just, like, looks death in the eye. He's so fucking dumb. He's like, I'm just going to take down this impossible thing. And, like, I fucking love that.
I mean, he's a real idiot, but he'll try.
And then, like, the twist with Arya. Like, her, like, doing the Michael Jordan thing, essentially, with the knife, I thought was really cool. Just me.
The Michael Jordan thing?
You know when he switched hands on the layup?
Oh, that's true. I did think it, yeah.
Yeah, that was okay. The Michael Jordan thing. Yeah. So I was a big fan. And, like, Arya being the one was, like, perfect. Like, a lot of, like, diaper heads get mad. They're like, that's a Mary Sue. And it's like, they just spent 10 years turning this girl into an assassin. What the fuck are you talking about? How is that a Mary Sue situation?
Yeah, well, okay, so there's a thing that dipshits do where they just call any female character who's competent a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Which is pretty stupid, but, like, what a Mary Sue actually is like when somebody has clearly written themselves into a story and made themselves perfect at everything.
Yeah.
What is she supposed to be a Mary Sue for? Like, who is she supposed to be?
You know who a real fucking Mary Sue is? Shia LaBeouf in the first Transformers.
Well, the classic one is Wesley Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation, who was literally written in the show so that, like, the little dork kids who watch Star Trek could be like, I could be on the Enterprise, too.
My dad loves Wesley Crusher, though, I will say.
I wouldn't brag about it.
No, he died. He's like, yeah, he's on Big Bang all the time. And I'm like, oh, man, you are old.
Yeah, I saw you have a Twitter account. And it's really good. Oh, no. Oh, I've lost you, father.
I thought Wesley Crusher, though, was the other guy. Like, who's the bearded guy?
Maybe I'm getting their names wrong, but who's the little kid? Like, who's the precocious, smarty...
That's Wesley Crusher, I think. Who's the guy who's, like, the doctor with the
beard?
Oh,
I've never watched that show. I just know Wesley Crusher.
I haven't either. My dad loved it. My dad loved The Next Generation, though.
That's like
a 90s thing.
I know the reference of Temba, the arm, the thing, the what, you know.
Yeah. I would have watched it. But it's, like, not on Netflix or anything. So, like how do you even watch Star Trek?
That show was the first ever all syndication.
Yeah. Show. CBS owns it.
No, the production company owns it. It was not produced for a specific network. It was 100% syndicated. Like, it was when it was a success, that's what create, like, that's after it was Baywatch and Hercules and Xena Warrior Princess. Like, they saw the success of Star Trek The Next Generation and were like, okay, this is a viable...
Wasn't Charles in Charge syndicated?
No, I think that was an ABC.
One of those was. The one with Michael J. Fox, I thought, was syndicated.
No, all those shows ended up syndicated. Because
reason
you start a sitcom is to hopefully get syndicated one day.
No, it was syndicated, like... wasn't, like, its last three seasons, like, weren't on ABC necessarily. Huh. Like, I think the network, like, the local station could buy it.
I've not heard that. I do know Star Trek, The Next Generation, was the first all syndicated, no network.
No backing, yeah.
You know, this was made specifically to be syndicated everywhere that it is.
But it's wild how they don't even just have, like, a Star Trek streaming service then or something. I mean, Star Trek's bigger than, like, WWE, right?
That's true. It probably is, especially nowadays. Wrestling.
Take it.
Do you see where Vic shit all over Dave today?
No. What did our boy, Dave, what did friend of the website, Davey Meltzer, do?
Well, no, Vic just subtweeted the shit out of him where everybody knew he was talking about Dave. Where it was like, if you in 2019 are still quoting total viewers when not one single soul in the entire TV business cares about total viewers, as including Fox, you sound like a dumbass and nobody should pay attention to you.
It's right, and I'm sorry too, but like, to only rely on this like stupid metric from 30 years ago to look at ratings just seems like kind of ass backwards these days.
Well, Nielsen's I mean, everybody hates Nielsen, and everybody knows Nielsen sucks, but it's all you have. So everybody relies
on it. Well, yeah. Well, like, and we don't really know streaming numbers, because, like, everyone's secretive, but, like, that's why, like, I just don't think that's an end-all be-all.
It is. I think, like, people... It is for the TV networks. But, it absolutely
but
is.
But I thought the TV networks probably have access to better stuff by
now. No! That's... everybody in television hates how shit all the stuff they have is.
That's stupid. Netflix just has it better.
There's another company that's sprung up trying to... sell, like, we're better at figuring out how many people are watching your network than Nielsen. Yeah. And everybody I've talked to in the television industry, I've talked to a few people, says absolutely 100% this other company is better than Nielsen. Nielsen's methodology is absolutely insane.
And Nielsen's methodology is like taking like 100 people and just being like, well, yep, this is what 300 million people
are. Here's the other crazy thing about what Nielsen does. They base, like, what the ratings in Memphis are off of what the ratings are for something in Atlanta. Because they don't go city by city. They don't have people in every city doing the deal. So they'll just take, like, wherever the closest metropolitan area is to wherever your market is and base your ratings off of them and do some, like, math bullshit to like, adjust for the fact that Memphis is in Atlanta. And if you're in Memphis and you're a TV station, you're like, what the hell is this telling me? This is meaningless.
And in 2019, people consume things a lot differently. And, like, it's something that, like, those wrestling people don't ever seem to get.
Well, no, because the television industry doesn't give a shit if you watch it on your YouTube. Because they want to know, you know, they want to be able to sell ads.
Yeah, but, like, to gauge its popularity, I don't care about ad. I'm gauging, like, how popular
it's important,
is this.
It's important from a business perspective.
No, that's important for like, lazy. I don't care about the business side.
Though. Well, I mean, the business side impacts whether the thing is existentially going to be here. Like,
I think WWE
completely...
But it's clearly more popular.
If WWE completely fails on Fox, that is not good for the future of WWE.
No, of course not. But... like, to gauge, like, how popular it is, like, more than 2 million people pay attention to WWE. I'm sorry. That's how it works.
I think there is something to the fact that you can kind of gauge it more by the house shows, which are pretty bad right now.
Well, also, look, economy kind of sucks for some people.
The economy is not as good as people want to tell you it is.
Actually, the economy is fine. Everything has cost so much. There's no extra luxuries.
Live attendance for all things is down.
Yeah.
Like, it's very difficult getting people to spend the money to come to an event unless it's a really big thing.
Well, that's why, like, I think someone mentioned to Melty, like, well, you know, the NBA numbers are down, and he was like, just waved it off. Like, that doesn't...
Well, attendance is down for everybody. I mean, when it comes to attending an event, everybody's attendance figures are down.
But here's why he's a shitty reporter. Because he only goes after WWE because they're mean to him. That's it.
Well, no, it's because all he cares about is wrestling and MMA. I don't think it's personal. I think
look how nice he is to, like, anything Ric Flair does.
Well, I just think a lot of it is just that he is so narrow-minded about what he cares about that he misses a lot of stuff that he would know about if he paid more attention to anything outside of his bubble.
Yeah.
Like,
but also, it just, why are we still paying attention to this guy in 2019? Well, it doesn't matter.
Because doesn't whole, matter. Because wrestling reporters, other than my boy Bix, are so uniformly shitty that Dave's still the best of his of the crew.
Is he?
Yeah. Who's better than him?
That doesn't mean anything. Like, who's better than a shit sandwich, man? But
that's why he's still relevant. Is that there's still nobody better than him, even after all this time.
Sam Roberts.
I mean, Sam Roberts is not
our boy.
Is literally
friend of the show. Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts is lucky he doesn't get his radio show canceled from having all these fucking wrestlers on a comedy show every week.
I don't even know what Sam Roberts does.
He is a co-host of the Norton and Roberts show, which is, I guess, the closest thing there is to an heir to the Opie and Anthony show. Because Opie's out of radio now, and Anthony is, well, too racist to be put on radio, which tells you something. And so,
so I got to go to podcasting.
So basically, maybe. It's just Jimmy Norton, and then I guess he ended up with Sam as his co-host. I'm not sure why. Like, of all the people from that have been on Opie and Anthony over the years, or been affiliated with Opie and Anthony, Sam was probably the worst, but. He's got the best.
But here career. We are. Let's see. Let's talk some sports. How about this sport? The NFL draft.
Oh boy! There's some teams
that
were doing some things. There was some teams that put themselves out there. That's all, can say.
You know who I think won the draft? Josh Rosen.
I mean, he's getting the hell out of Arizona.
Miami. Yeah. He's going to Miami.
Like, well, is that set in stone yet? Because the last
time, yeah, he's traded.
Okay, it did happen. What did they trade for?
Yeah, like a fourth round pick. And do you see like what their concerns were? Like those NFL writers were like, it's not Rosen's play; it's his character. And the concerns with that
he cares about the environment.
He cares about the. He tried to get a shoe made of recycled materials.
Yeah,
this is how like stupid the NFL is. We're like. They're the biggest girls. Well, that's NFL, what they're like, teenage girls.
The NFL is literally run by a bunch of right-wing white dudes.
Who are teenage girls.
Who have never spoken to a single person.
Who cares? I don't care. Like, it's funny, like, what they brush off, because, like, a guy's good at football, but then, like, if some opinion seems weird to them, they're like, well, we can't have this.
Yeah, I mean, dudes beating their wives is cool. Dudes being a Democrat,
Uh-oh.
I don't know about this.
Could have some issues. And it's like, if he's good at football, who gives a... That's like what basketball gets the best. It's like, we literally don't care.
But I think it's like,
fucking the Warriors...
I think
like
it's...
The Warriors took back Andrew Bogut, who's like, on record as being like pretty right-wing. And like, Golden State's probably pretty left. You know, Kurds come out against Trump. They didn't go visit the White House. They took him back. So like, well, this guy works for us. We don't care.
Yeah. I think the fact that he's a quarterback is what makes it even like is drives those people in the NFL work fly like crazier.
Yeah,
it's because they want the quarterback to basically be a member of the office.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have that mentality,
which is stupid too. Well, they look at how many fucking these quarterbacks suck. We'll get to Daniel Jones in a second. My lord, the NFL draft just made me so angry. I'm so sorry. I've got cats jumping into boxes here.
Yeah, I just
I heard that noise.
I just think they. I just think the way they look at it, like they want their quarterback to be a Republican dude like Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady, who's going to be friends with the owner, who's going to do what's best for the team, who's going to tell all the other players to get in line.
And think about this. I mean,
they don't want the quarterback having solidarity.
Here's a hard, and here's like another like hard truth. Roethlisberger and Brady, at this stage in their careers, not that great. Like Brady had Gronk. That's why he was so good these last, what, 5-6 years.
I mean, Brady wasn't even that good last year. Their run game is what got them as far as
they got them. And literally teams just being dumb as shit and being like, we're not going to cover the middle for some reason. Looking at you, Kansas City. I just don't get the NFL. The NFL just makes me angrier and angrier every year. Like, how are you this dumb? And, like, some GM's going to figure it. It might be the Browns guy. I don't know. Like, it's going to figure out that, like, none of this fucking shit matters. Just get me guys who can play.
Yep.
But that also, like, don't beat their wives.
I mean, literally, nobody cared about the kneeling thing, like, 6 months later. It was literally a thing people only talked about during the offseason. And then as soon as actual games started, nobody gave a shit. And then the football league that started up only on the idea that people are sick of the NFL because of players kneeling was out of business within like 8 weeks.
Yeah. It was a Giants game. Can we talk about, we've talked about like how awful they treated everybody associated with that. Like guys, owing bills to their hotel rooms because the team wouldn't pay it.
Yeah. And guys have medical bills because they just, instead of like, well, we're going to take care of everybody who got hurt, you know, during the season, we're going to take care of you unless you get another job. They just said, fuck you. You're all on your own now. I mean,
you think there would be like an insurance plan you would have to purchase before you start a league like that?
Well, I mean, they're going to get their asses sued off and we're going to see what happens. But it's pretty clear that like Bill Polian and Boy Wonder over there,
Ebersol
lied their asses off.
It makes you know what it makes me think, Dan? I think the wrong Ebersol is in that plane.
Oof.
What's that?
Rough. But fair.
Maybe I'm not going to go into that. What if? What if QAnon is the Ebersol who died in the plane crash?
He's like Racer faked X. He faked his death. Yeah. And now he just walks around in a mask going...
He's going to be the guy behind the XFL.
It was me! What if Vince is...
XFL is going to rule, though.
I mean, it's going to fail its ass off, too.
But are they going to do that simultaneous overtime thing still?
I hope so, because that's so stupid, and that's what I want. Because we just found out that the market for this is non-existent. Nobody actually wants this. As much as I liked it, you have to come to a point where you go, look, I liked it, but clearly nobody else did.
Dan, I'm a pretty big football guy. I watched maybe a week.
I mean, even
I was like, I think I was unemployed during most of the season. Like, I had every excuse to watch the AAF, whatever the fuck, and, like, just didn't touch it.
I mean, honestly, even after 6 or so weeks, I tapped out, and they literally had my favorite coach of all time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the bottom line is that this was not a good idea, and it will not work. And
Guess what? Like we said in our podcast, Dan, these never work because there's already a great secondary football league. It's called the NCAA.
Yeah.
People get it. There's already one.
Yeah, people want to watch. People don't care about minor. One, find me an example of a minor league sport that's ever drawn money on television.
Yeah.
Like minor league baseball.
No, NCAA, and it's a completely different presentation of the sport.
But like people will go to minor league baseball in person. Because it's like, well, I'd like to go see professional baseball, and I'm in.
But even then,
I'm in Kannapolis, North Carolina. So
even then, they usually have a gimmick to draw you in, like a free hat.
They
or
try
something.
It, yeah.
Or like all you can drink beer, or
I've never seen them do that. Usually, my only maybe baseball,
or maybe all you can eat. I know one that does all you can eat food. I don't know if they do beer.
That makes sense, but usually you want to be a family friendly environment.
Well, not anymore. Now you can drink.
We're
in the new era, baby.
We're in Trump's America.
Trump's America, baby.
It's Trump's America. God is dead. You know, that's...
Trump's America does rule. Let me tell you, if you're a white guy, it rules. Yes. If you're anything else, it's probably pretty
not
awful.
Not going well.
Yes. But as a white dude, I'm doing pretty well under Trump. Saying.
Well, you also live in a metropolitan area which voted Democrat, which has been the only people to benefit economically from the Trump presidency.
It rules.
Which is
making more money than I ever have in my life.
Which is why it's so funny that people think he has a chance of being reelected. Because, like, all the parts of the country that are the reason he got elected are sucking hind tit. And all the parts...
No, like, the fucking,
all the parts...
Like the Foxconn...
Yeah, all the parts of the country that, like, hate his guts are the ones who are doing well. And it's like, well, they already decided they hate him. So it's, like, not... like, it ain't gonna matter that, like... You know, the economy's doing well in L.A.
Yeah, no one in Valdosta, or Valdosta's even maybe too... I mean, you know, fuck it, Valdosta's not urban. People in Valdosta do not give a fuck that Atlanta's doing well. Like, they're very upset about it. Like, that's the thing with Atlanta and Georgia. Like, everyone else hates us, but, like, Savannah.
Yeah, that's
we're kind of friends with Savannah.
That's the thing Charlotte has, where like everyone in Savannah's North Carolina like the, hates Charlotte. Yeah.
Who's the queer like artsy cousin that's like friends with Charlotte?
Asheville.
So that's like our Savannah thing. And I don't know what's the South Carolina equivalent, like Charleston.
Charleston, yeah. But Charleston.
Charleston's probably
Charleston's way too racist to be in this discussion.
Yeah, what? That's probably like the most liberal town, right? That or like Aiken or something.
I would say probably...
Columbia?
Probably Columbia. Just because you've got the largest college in the state there.
Yeah, and like Clemson feels like a right-wing kind of...
It is.
It's like an Ole Miss, Miss State thing there, feels like.
And very, like, ROTC.
Like, yeah.
A lot of ROTC at Clemson.
Speaking of Clemson, Dabo got paid.
Yeah, but he's going to leave if they ever pay them players. He's going to walk away from that $9 million a year salary they're giving him.
I'm sure he will.
And what, I mean, is there any point where, like, the Yahoo dumbass writers are ever going to realize that this is all bullshit? It feels like every time a coach gets a new salary like this, people figure out that this is really stupid that the players don't get paid anything.
Anything. It's just like... 40 grand or something would, like, mean the world.
I mean, this is not that hard to pull off. You literally go, look, we're going to equally disperse 20% of all football revenues to all scholarship football players. And everybody gets an equal check. Even the stars, even the third stringer, if you're on scholarship, you get a check.
Yeah.
And then you also let the stars be able to go sign endorsements.
Title IX.
If you give everybody the same percentage of the television money or in the revenues generated, then it's not a Title IX violation. If softball generates $1 million, let's say, and you give the team 20% of it, guess what? You've given them an equal. You've not violated Title IX.
Bam. Just do that.
You just guarantee a flat percentage to all college football athletes. And guess what? The water polo team that doesn't generate any money, they'll get 20% of zero, which is zero. And they'll be happy.
And here's the other thing, Dan. Oh, how are we going to pay for that? Well, guess what's coming in the next 10 years? Hard automation into the world. We're probably not going to need all these administrative assistants.
You already don't need these administrative... The only reason you have, like, 17,000 different members of the athletic department, like the associate to the associate athletic director, is because they have millions of dollars to spend and no idea what to spend it all on.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, okay, we have millions of dollars... We can either have a surplus, which just means that the academic side will be begging us for money, or people will be hollering that we need to give it to the players,
I can give my cousin a job.
Or I can just give my idiot cousin a job to do marketing at Michigan Stadium, as if you need to market the big house. Like, oh, we put him in charge of marketing Auburn Stadium. He's done a fantastic job. We're all sellouts.
Jordan Hare.
Oh, we put somebody's cousin in charge of the Eagle.
Actually, I wouldn't do that. He's killed it. Skeet's done kill the Eagle again, Bill.
And we're paying him seven figures.
We're paying him $5 million a year, and he's killed 10 Eagles in a month. His entire salary couldn't pay for how many eagles this man has killed.
He kills all eagles all the time.
We're not even sure how. Walks, just keeps feeding them Skittles. It's a really simple problem to fix.
Now, I'm just thinking of the famous wrestling promoter from Tennessee. His name was Nick Gulas, and he famously had a son named George, who he tried to make a big pro wrestler when Jerry Lawler started. And, and George kind of talked like this. He kind of had a voice like this. And then the famous story of when George was wrestling, his dad booked him against Harley Race. And Harley Race is just eating this kid up because it's like, I'm not selling for this fucking idiot. And then there's a famous story where George looks at him and goes, "That shit sell! That shit sell!" And now that's all I can think of is some fucking backwoods idiot whose dad owns a plumbing business.
No, it's like somebody's, like, wife's idiot third cousin that they have to get a job. He's just, like, trying to get his, like, some AD.
He's a booster. He's, like, just a major Auburn booster, and he has this idiot relative who is completely unemployable.
Yeah, and his wife just won't shut the fuck up.
And so he just ties his donations to Auburn hiring this idiot. And he's like, "That's it, I can take care of the eagle."
They just give him a stuffed eagle, so now he kills that. It wasn't even alive. It's a fake eagle.
Oh, man.
College athletics. Can't wait. How many days away till college football, Dan?
Not
too far.
It's too far away, that's for sure.
Because we are... What's the big opening kickoff game again?
Are they going back to Australasia?
I think we're done with the...
with that experiment.
Destroy everyone's time clock.
Body clock, sir. Body clock. Don't forget the body time clock.
The kill your sleep cycle bowl. Auburn, Oregon. How about that, Dan?
That seems like that would have been a great game 4 years ago.
It was a great game 10 years ago in the national championship.
But, I mean, we'll see. Everybody, everybody loves Oregon's coach. Is one of those dudes that has clearly a million different contacts with college football reporters because they're always talking about what a great job Cristobal's doing. Like when Cristobal got fired from Florida International, you would have thought that they had fired the Pope. Meanwhile, the guy
ready for this
500, so that just should just tell you, his contacts in the business.
Looks like 24th. Of August, Arizona, Hawaii.
That could be good. That could be Kevin Sumlin starts the clock on him getting fired.
And then that same day, you get Florida, Miami.
Oh, finally! The battle for the Seminole canoe.
Yeah. Can you still say that?
Why not?
What's like a PC way to say... I guess you can say Seminole. That's not like a slur.
Yeah, Seminole's a tribe.
Yeah. Okay. The red skin canoe. Sorry.
The goddamn dirt worshiper canoe.
Like, I'm sure there's some, like, you know there was some trophy back in the day that was like the N-word beating stick.
Oh, you absolutely know that Cal and Stanford played it for, like, the Celestial Scout Trophy. It's just like a fucking Asian dude's head cut off. It's mummified, and they're just playing for it.
Yeah, that's week zero, is Florida, Miami, and then Arizona, Hawaii. And then Thursday, we get the Holy War, Utah, BYU, Georgia Tech, Clemson.
I like that Utah and BYU have worked it out to play each other, but there is something kind of irritating about these formerly big rivalries being played so early in the season. That it's like, oh man, what the hell are you going to do for the rest of your season if you're Utah?
And of course, you got Middle Tennessee State, Michigan, one of the greatest rivalries in all of football. Who gets the Sunday slot? This is the rest of the show, just me reading the college football schedule.
Well, as this podcast's official Michigan correspondent, have you found out about how Michigan's going to be completely different this year?
All of their problems
have been solved.
This is the year. They're definitely going to not have a quarterback who can't throw. They're not going to run it too much. And not run, like, how many tight end sets were they running last year? Like,
now they
11?
Now the word is they will be running one tight end maximum.
Wow.
Three receiver, one tight end every play. They're going to be running Alabama's offense. They hired Alabama's quarterbacks coach to be their coordinator. They're going to be up-tempo.
Are you ready for the Sunday and Monday games?
Hit me.
For week one? Houston, Oklahoma on Sunday.
Man, that game would have been great 3 years ago.
Monday, Notre Dame, Louisville.
Good God. That's another one that would have been great before, well, Louisville turned into a cesspool.
The Chick-fil-A kickoff is Alabama Duke.
Oof. Oof. Man, I'm not looking forward to watching that.
Can't wait till next week when we run down the week two schedule. Featuring BYU versus Tennessee. And Rutgers, Iowa. The greatest rivalry.
The greatest rivalry in the Big Ten.
The battle for the coon cap.
There's no raccoons in either one of those states.
What was the thing UConn and like UCF made up?
UConn and UCF. It was UConn's coach unilaterally, without discussing it with anybody at his own university, went and paid for them to make a trophy, which he called the civil conflict the CT was capital for Connecticut and the FL was capital for Florida, because it was like civil war, but that already exists.
Where is that thing?
Nobody knows where the trophy is, because Central Florida won it twice.
Just
left it on the field. The first time that thing was happening, Central Florida won the game and just left it on the field because they said, this is stupid, but we don't acknowledge this. And then somebody at UConn brought it back for the second year, and then that's the year everybody
paid for it.
And then nobody found out what happened to it afterwards.
paid for another one.
Bob Bianco, when SB Nation did a great article about the Civil Conflict Trophy. And Bob Bianco, who's the UConn coach, said, I have put that memory into a box and buried it. I do not know anything about that period of my life. Which is totally also, good and healthy and good. Just very
week
good.
Week two, Dan, real quick, we get West Virginia Mizzou in the battle of why aren't you two both in the same conference?
Well, that's the battle of damn it, you stole our spot. Which was Missouri scooped West Virginia's spot in the SEC. If we want revenge.
But we get LSU Texas, which will definitely have maybe the most annoying narrative of all time surrounding that game. Is Texas back? Is LSU back? We'll find out.
Well, it's also like, why aren't you just playing Texas A&M? That is the LSU, please play Texas so that we stop having, so they stop pretending to be our rival, because we don't really care that much.
We're just going to be Texas's rival. Fuck you, A&M. You're not. Who got in the fight with A&M last year, though? Was that LSU?
Well, LSU fighting doesn't make you their rival. They'll fight anybody
that's
for any reason.
Just for losing it.
Like, they just like fighting. That don't mean that they hate you. That just means
or even like you. That might mean they like you.
Yeah. That's how they court in Louisiana.
It's hot down there. I'd fight anybody.
Like, basically, once you leave New Orleans, if somebody just walks up and hits you with a radiator, that means they want to make love to you. And that's the Louisiana way.
That's Louisiana. And then that's it for the major marquee matchups next year in college football. Out of conference marquee.
Sure.
Except, Dan, Stanford at UCF.
That is a clash of cultures.
We have one really good school in UCF and one fake good school in Stanford.
They should call that the Battle of Tours, version 2.
Okay, think about this, though. Has anyone as dumb or as scammy as Elizabeth Holmes come out of UCF? Probably not. Probably way more.
There's a lot of
scammers.
People who've done mortgage fraud come out of UCF.
but successful mortgage fraud.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, the people who come out of UCF are a lot better at doing crime. Because they scam people who have common sense, whereas Stanford produces people who are good at scamming venture capitalists, which literally any idiot can do as long as they're white and have a black turtleneck.
And half of them are literally just like 65-year-old men who are just like, well, he looked me in the eye.
He looked me in the eye, and you know...
It's like, how are you successful?
His father went to Harvard.
Damn it.
Damn it. That's why... Did you know back in the 80s, Vince McMahon claimed he went to Harvard Business School?
He's an honorary doctorate, right?
I don't believe so. I don't believe Harvard does that, for one.
No, it's Oxford.
He claimed he went to Harvard Business School back in the 80s.
That rules.
Meanwhile, he barely graduated with a business degree from East Carolina.
From West Virginia. East Carolina. Not even an ACC school.
And that was like 10 years after East Carolina had started letting men in. Because it used to be on all
girls. Is East Carolina, though, where did Linda McMahon go?
She went to East Carolina. NC State? She went to East Carolina because he went there.
Oh, okay.
She could have probably went somewhere better, but she...
I mean, she's clearly the smarter one.
Is she? Or is she just... Or do people just think she's smart because she doesn't talk much?
No, that's the key to being smart, Dan. Because you can't say anything dumb if you don't talk.
Because when she ran for Senate, she blew $50 million on a campaign that basically amounted to, we need a business person.
In Connecticut, where they never had a business person in politics.
You know, where like she basically... She spent $50 million trying to win a Senate seat that has not gone to a Republican in like 60 years.
Yeah. And it's a Senate seat in a state that's literally just businesses, right? Like, does anyone live in Connecticut? I assumed it was just all businesses
there. I mean, it's
no people.
It's basically just like, it's nothing but CEOs who want to live close to where their company is headquartered.
And people who, like, don't want to live in New York.
And then like, just weird New England people who, like, my family's lived on this plot of land for 35 years. You know,
Robert Kennedy raped me. Yeah.
You know, like, we came just... over on the Mayflower, but we didn't get along with them, and then I turned Irish.
So,
I just assume can't that, like, wait. The majority of people who live in Connecticut who aren't, like, people who move there because their company is headquartered there, like all the locals, are all people who look like they belong in like an adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft book. Just like weird, pale.
That's what that movie The Village is about, right? That's just Connecticut.
Yeah, they're just real strange looking. Nobody, like, everybody's just been marrying their cousins for 300 years.
Hey, this podcast is going hard at Connecticut, and we're happy about it.
Look, New England thinks there's something because, like, they're close to Boston, which is a large city, but the vast majority of New England is just, like, a bunch of really weird inbred...
It's just the South!
...oddities.
It's just South, like, but what, not hot.
Like, what if the South was cold and the farming sucked? And there was literally no reason to stay here. And you'd be a deranged idiot to continue living here. Well, my family's been trying to grow crops on this one plot of rock for 300 years.
You just had a seedling pop up. It's like, sir, that was a blade of grass.
Everything in New England is just a bunch of... It's all granite. And these people are trying to grow things in it.
It's like, mine the granite, you would think. Is what I would do if I was New England.
Breaking news. Uh-oh. The weirdo who played Chewbacca died.
No!
Yeah. So now he can go, like, be creepy to Carrie Fisher in heaven.
Aw. Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
R.I.P. May the 4th. We're coming up on May the 4th.
Live long and prosper, Chewbacca.
He's an endgame now.
Go fight the Daleks forever.
Wow, that's some hard breaking news on the show.
The one guy from the original trilogy that they did not bring back for the stupid movie
because it's completely useless. The crusty old little person who played R2-D2 died, right?
No, he's still around.
Really. I don't know if he's crusty, I'm just going to assume.
He was super young when he played R2-D2.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy from the Leprechaun movies, and
Oh,
did you see the Harry Potter movies?
I saw one of them.
The little person who plays a professor in the Harry Potter movies.
I saw the last one, and I couldn't even tell
you.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
I remember a kid wouldn't shut the fuck up during it.
He's a famous, like, genre actor, because basically any movie where they need a little person to be, like, the lead, he was that guy for, like... Actually, I don't think he was R2-D2. He was all the important Ewoks. I take that back.
Oh.
I don't know what's become of R2-D2.
That was played by Mickey Rooney.
With his eyes pulled back like an Asian. For no reason.
He was just in that character.
Just because he just, that's the way he is. All movies. He just, ha! I'm a macaroni! That's just how he talks on the
set. I'm peeing! Yeah.
Like, you know how method actors will be like, just call me by my character's name all week. Like, I'm just, like, Daniel Day-Lewis will be like, and he'll talk in his voice, whatever voice he's put on. Yeah.
I'm Abraham Lincoln.
Just call me Abe all weekend. And it's like, yeah, you know, Mickey Rooney, people don't know this, his process was he would just go, ha, I'm a ping pong! You just call me a pong a ping, I don't care.
Obviously, like, Asian racism is, like, slightly more acceptable in American culture, it feels like.
That one, the Breakfast at Tiffany's is not acceptable, no matter.
No, but that's so over the top, like, racist, it's just funny to me.
It's like, oh my god, like, who thought this was,
like,
it's one thing if you played a Japanese dude, because it's like, alright, you still got a lot of people still upset.
Yeah.
You got some people who are still sore after 1941. So, you know, I kind of get that, but, you know, what the hell are we picking on the Chinaman for? Like, what have they done?
He played, and the character was Italian, so none of
them. Like, yeah. Hi, my name is Santino. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'd like to see, like, my name is Miko, and that's actually an Italian name. What's a Japanese name? Oh, my name is a Ping.
No, I don't think... A Ping's, I think, of a Chinese name, but I'm not sure.
My name is a Wong.
And that's Korean. I'm almost
sushi.
Positive.
Whatever, okay.
My name is Hideki. Listen. Oh.
Yeah. No, my name is a Hideki, and I love the sushi. Just like guy who gets his racist stereotypes mixed up. That's a new character.
I am, how you say, como se dice... sushi.
I love fried chicken.
But it's just a Russian guy who's just like, he thinks that's what Russians love.
Oh,
he's
yes.
Like a John Wick villain talking about how much he loves fried chicken and watermelon. It's just good. Yes.
I guess, John Wick 3 is coming out. 3 weeks, Dan. We're gonna
now. What is the rumor that John Wick is going to be in the new Rock movie?
Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Well, no. Hobbs and Shaw. Fast and Furious tale.
Which rules? Like, let's just do Avengers for everything. I know some people don't like that.
Also, it's
fuck you.
Nobody cares about any of the people from that original movie. But the reason why people still keep going to Fast and Furious movies is because they added The Rock and Jason Statham and like all of these other characters to it because. People like to pretend that they love the Fast and the Furious. After, like, Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, nobody gave a shit anymore. And then The Rock showed up, and it was like, alright, well, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then Vin Diesel fucked that up because he got the big head. Because he thought, because he says, I am Groot, he thought he had money coming in for him.
This is the superstar.
As if he is not the single most... That is one dude who didn't say a thing about Gunn. Because he's like, I'm not sticking my head above water. I might walk in one day and they've just replaced me with, you know, Dwayne Johnson saying I'm great and I'll be screwed.
I love are they just literally replay his lines? Like, voice edit him.
I mean, what's the reason they picked Vin Diesel? Is it just because of the Iron Giant?
It must be it.
Because, like, basically Groot is just the Iron Giant.
Everything's the Iron Giant.
Superman.
People forget that. Tony Stark was the Iron Giant in the first Avengers. He just lived.
Well, the Iron Giant literally lived.
Basically did this.
The Iron Giant lived, too.
Oh, he did live. That's right. Spoilers.
He's out there in Antarctica waiting for when we
a sequel
most.
That'll never come.
Because that movie made, like, a third of its budget.
Yeah, and, like, the director from it... I think the director who did it was like, yeah, this is just the end of the story. Sorry. Like, I don't want to do a franchise with this.
Well, I'm
I think
sure
it's the guy who does The Incredibles.
I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't have minded, but it was like, well, one, that's back before every movie had to have a sequel. Like, when it was just expected that your movie was supposed to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then that's it.
Yeah.
But the reason why the Iron Giant survived is because you wanted to give kids a happy ending, not because you were setting up a future franchise potential.
Yeah. And it's good for things to end. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes things just need to have an ending.
Comic
books are a good thing, because comic books never end. So it's fine that movies who adapt comic books sort of leave these out, because that's true to the form. But, like, I don't need to see Macbeth 2. Oh, Macbeth survived!
Hamlet 2. That was a movie.
Yeah, but the whole thing is how it's funny. Like,
yeah.
It's a comedy that nobody laughed at.
And this is kind of spoiler-free, but that's what I enjoyed about Endgame so much. I know you haven't seen it yet, this isn't really spoiler, but it's just like a nice ending to something for once. I like that.
Yeah. Things need to end sometimes. Or else,
and that's good.
You won't have any stakes to a movie.
No, or you turn into wrestling.
It's like nothing ever ends.
Needs to just end. If wrestling would just end for like 2 months, it'd be so much better.
Or if just wrestling, if WWE could just get over the idea of like, oh, I can't let anybody go anywhere, and just be like, you know what? Every now and again, we'll just have a heel just leave the company. He was a big, vicious son of a bitch. He damn near beat somebody, and then he failed, and then the good guy beat him, and then he's gone. And then just...
It's over.
6 months later, you see him pop up in New Japan.
Or in a different mask.
God, that's the other thing I miss. I miss when people could just put on a mask, and it's like, oh, this is the super excavator... This isn't just Terry Gordy and
the guy you saw wrestled 5 minutes ago. Wrestling would just be better though if they just were like, you know what, after WrestleMania, we're gonna take 2 months off. I don't care.
Well, they do take house shows off.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, like TV. I don't need Game of Thrones. Like, if Game of Thrones went year round.
Well, money's gotta be made, brother.
Everything else makes money that way. Even NFL.
Yeah, but WWE is not everything else, because WWE is the only reason they put it on television is because you can always bank on wrestling being on television. It's old reliable. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it sucks. That's why the NFL's starting to suck. It's just shit. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
So the NBA is going to hit that wall soon, too.
Yeah, the NBA... The NBA has its cool spot, like, right after the season ends, right before free agency starts.
Well, you have the draft in June. Never ends. It does. NBA kind of quiets down when football starts. Like, you don't think about the NBA really until, like, it gets
off. Funniest thing about basketball is that their coolest part of their coldest part of the year is while games are going on. It's just like, okay, the part of the NBA season that's... We know, like, the free agency's over, so you know who's going to be on every team.
Yeah.
And you don't really care because everybody's kind of playing at half speed because they want to have some kind of legs for the end of the season.
And you're like...
And the NFL's anyway,
dude, happening. I've got to watch Rutgers, Iowa. I can't be watching Golden State, Portland right now. Are you kidding me? It's the battle for the coonskin cap.
I mean, but that is part of the thing. Is that the college football has such a short, condensed season, and it also has a condensed, silly season.
It's 3 months?
The whole season is only 3 months, and then all the coaching jobs, everybody who's going to be getting a coaching job has that job by January.
Yeah.
Or maybe February. So, like, you don't even have, like, you know, in the NBA, you always have the discussion of what free agent's going here or what guy's going there. Yeah. In college, it's like even the silly season is over quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There you go. Keep things, that's the lesson for the show. Keep things short. Like this episode.
No, we got to talk about NASCAR. I have been watching all this NASCAR, not to be denied.
It's almost 8 o'clock, Dan.
Okay, but we got to talk about NASCAR real
fast. In 30 minutes. Okay. So,
the big thing with NASCAR is I used to be a big NASCAR fan as a kid. I have not watched NASCAR in years. I literally have no idea who any of the drivers are. There's maybe like five people who are still around from when.
Is Mark Martin still going?
Mark Martin was apparently still driving like 4 years ago, but no longer.
Aww.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Constant. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has retired due to concussions. Jeff Gordon has retired because he wants to just get blown on the Riviera by his wife.
She's a fucking pussy. Rich daddy. Unlike Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, I like Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's, you know, just a wastrel. Sits around all day.
Came from nothing. Had to build his NASCAR out of spare parts.
You know. Dale Earnhardt is an aggressively honest guy, though, these days. If you watch, like, I watched an interview Dale Earnhardt Jr. gave where he's like, yeah, my dad didn't even come to my high school graduation. I don't have a single picture from him. That's really shitty, isn't it? It's like, yeah, my dad really didn't give a damn about me until I started driving. And that's really
the only reason I drive. My dad's a piece of shit.
Like, literally, the only reason I started driving is because, well, it seemed like the only thing I could do to make my dad ever care about me.
So he's essentially Ricky Bobby.
I guess.
From Talladega Nights. That was Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I'm all embedded in the NASCAR culture. We got the Gen 7s coming out soon. The Gen 7 cars.
Is this like when I got really into theme parks for like a week and like everyone had to sit me down? Like, Zachary, you need, like, use my real name. You need to stop.
You need to stop talking about the theme
parks. Alice in Wonderland from the 70s, like. You weren't even born. How could you be nostalgic for this ride?
But no, I mean, so this week's past race was Talladega, and Talladega, when I was a kid, everybody loved Talladega.
No, it was a movie named after Talladega.
Because it was like...
Big deal.
It's the biggest track. It's the track where you're capable of achieving the fastest speeds. And, you know, apparently in recent years, it's been the worst track in the world to watch, because if you get out of line with the draft, your car just goes to shit and everybody passes you. So nobody's ever able to pass anybody, which is not fun to watch, obviously. But this week the race was super exciting. The Chevrolets, which are drastically outnumbered by the Fords these days, the Chevrolets kind of all stuck together and drafted with each other, and it resulted in the Chevrolet taking the top three spots, including the winner, Chase Elliott, who's the person they're trying to build the whole sport around these days.
Heard of that person.
Who's not really been all that successful, but they're hoping he can be their next big star.
NASCAR is back.
If I could say anything about why NASCAR is kind of struggling to me, there's been a lot of people talking about why NASCAR is struggling. The biggest problem I had with it is that everybody is somebody's son. Like, I desperately wanted to just pick somebody to root for who wasn't like, oh, I remember when his dad raced in the 90s. And everybody in the fucking NASCAR track races is like, oh, I remember Dave Blaney. Like, at first I thought Dave Blaney was still driving. I was like, oh, Dave Blaney ruled. No, it's Dave Blaney's idiot kid. You know.
Now that's kind of what's happening with, like, football and basketball now, it seems like.
Well, like the coaches' staff.
No, think about like Curry's dad.
Yeah, but his dad, Clay
Thompson's dad.
I mean, Michael Thompson was a star, but Steph Curry's dad wasn't really much of a star.
He's literally the most popular player in Charlotte Hornets history, sir.
No, he wasn't. That guy
was ranked number two on their.
They do that now because Steph Curry's hugely famous. Like. I'll tell honestly, the most popular guy was Muggsy. Like, I don't know who they had win it. Probably Alonzo.
Because, Kimba. Okay, no, it's Kimba.
Okay, that's bullshit, but...
He's the greatest player in Hornets because he's played with the Hornets for more than, like, 3 years.
Right, the greatest player to ever play for the Hornets is easily Alonzo.
But he only played there, what, like, 2 years? Three? Four?
I think 4 or 5 years.
It's about the same amount of time as Kimba.
Yeah.
And he was about Kimba's been, like, 8 years or something.
But Muggsy's the most is the most popular player in the history of the Hornets.
Yeah. Well, Muggsy, because he's, yeah. Because he was in Space Jam and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He went to Wake, and he's 5'3", you know.
Yeah. But there are a lot more, like the NBA doesn't, like, promote that as hard, but if you go through it, there's a lot of guys whose, like, dads played in the NBA.
But literally the whole NASCAR field, like, every person who's got a decent car is like, oh, Austin Dillon, he's Richard Childress's grandson. You know, Ty Dillon, he's Austin Dillon's brother. there's an Earnhardt who's, I think, Terry Earnhardt's son, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s nephew.
Yeah,
it's just endless. It's just an endless list of some fucking fail son who can't drive worth a shit, and it's like, and who has no personality whatsoever because rich kids never have a personality because they just grow up just going, yeah, I'm supposed to have this, and like. There's no Tony Stewart, who's just like a fucking psychopath who runs somebody over and murders them in a dirt race. Because, like, the guy...
just gets away with it.
It just gets away with it because the guy was high. And apparently, if you're high, it's okay to murder you in cold blood.
And he was, like, high on, like, marijuana or something, right? Yeah. Like, not even, like, a PCP or something.
No, he had just smoked up before a race. And apparently that makes it okay for Tony Stewart to just run him down like a dog.
There you go.
But yeah, NASCAR is good.
It's back.
It just needed a Republican in office to get NASCAR back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his heyday was what, during Bush? Or in Reagan, right?
Yeah, that's Nixon. Reagan is when NASCAR got really popular nationwide, I would say. But then yeah. it did have a good run during Clinton.
Well, Clinton was basically a Republican.
And then it peaked under Bush.
And then Obama killed it.
And then Obama's when it went to shit.
Yeah, because Obama said, I'm not going to let white people have anything.
Might have something to do with the giant economic collapse that Bush did, but nope, it's all Obama's fault.
No, I don't think, and nothing to do with maybe gas prices going up from a war.
It has nothing to do with all sponsorship for everything drying up because all of these major companies suddenly had no money, and the car manufacturer, like the entire American car business collapsing because nobody could get a car loan. That has nothing to do with my NASCAR window.
But NASCAR's back.
It's absolutely back.
The Night King is dead, and NASCAR is back.
Okay, I did find something out. Before we wrap up. The Night King's not even in the books.
Who cares?
That's extremely funny to me. Yeah. That's extremely... They made up this character that does not exist in the books and then gave him the lamest finale of all time.
It was the best!
It was terrible!
They set it up perfectly.
Spoiler alert. He got stabbed in the tummy and immediately exploded.
No, because the dagger is made of dragon glass, sir, which is the only way to kill the Night King, is with if he gets hit with one piece of that kind of glass.
If he'd been stabbed in the heart, I would have been like, alright.
But how fucking dumb is the Night King to, like, knowing, hey, they've got this stuff that can't kill me, I'm just gonna walk over to him.
Well, also, he never sells anything. I mean, I don't know who they picked to play that character, but he's the worst actor in the world.
That was also Mickey Rooney.
Hello, I'm the Night King.
The Night King. Mickey, gotta stop.
Mickey, please. They're just begging him. Please stop.
Like, why the hell did we cast Mickey Rooney? But the other thing is the real villain, Cersei, not the Night King. There you go.
Well, it just seems like the White Walkers are a lot more interesting in the books, where they're just like this malevolent force that just pops up because everything's out of balance.
But
instead
also,
of just like one bad dude.
But here's my issue with people who are like, well, you know, in the box, I'm not gonna fucking read a book, dude. Are you kidding me? Especially one that long. What am I, 12? Oh, we lost Dan. Let's see if he comes. I don't think he's coming back. So, that's the show for the week. Hope you enjoyed.
And, you know, Zach lost me there, but just want to stop right by and say thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued patronage. Keep your eyes on halfguarded.com at all hours of the day. And on behalf of Zach, on behalf of Mitch, on behalf of the Statue of Liberty, play the music, Jason.